This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Roshan. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be tackling the subject of trade. We're going to be talking about the subject of proportional representation as well as the petrol subsidy, which has been stalled. But in the meantime, let's take a look at some of the major bills which have passed through Parliament this year. So we're looking at some of the bills which have been passed and also failed to pass. Overall, Parliament passed 34 bills into law in 2019. And so here are some of the biggest ones. So parliamentarians approved the Service Tax Amendment Bill in April, and this was to allow for the 6% digital tax, which comes into effect on January 1st.
The digital tax will be applicable to foreign service providers, people like Netflix, Spotify, Google or Apple. And digital services are categorized by the Customs Department as including software, applications, or more familiar to us, online subscriptions, streaming services, online trading platforms, any form of services that you get digitally. And earlier in September, we spoke to Santharam Ellalingam, Asia Pacific Financial Services Indirect Tax Leader with Deloitte, for a primer on the digital tax implementation. And he explained that the rationale behind the digital tax.
The policy intention is really around getting a level playing field. So at the moment, if you have a local player in Malaysia who's providing these services, they would most likely have to charge tax. These foreign service providers at the moment, they're not within the scope of the tax. Now, what Malaysia is doing is not unique. Other countries globally are introducing similar rules or have already done so. Singapore, coincidentally, also going live with their own version of the rules on 1 January as well. So this is not something that we're doing in isolation.
And Santharam also spoke about who bears the brunt of the tax.
So how the rules work is that the foreign service provider would have to register in Malaysia. They would collect the tax from Malaysian customers and then pay that to the government. So the foreign service provider would be effectively the tax collector here. But in terms of actually who pays the cost, it's most likely going to be the Malaysian customer.
And that was Santharam Ellalingam, Asia Pacific Financial Services Indirect Tax Leader with Deloitte. So as a result of this new digital tax, the tax revenue is expected to increase by over 2.4 billion ringgit a year, provided, of course, that all foreign digital service providers register for the duty. So foreign service providers are required to register for service tax in Malaysia if they exceed or expect to exceed a 500,000 ringgit supply threshold in a 12-month period. And failing to register or comply with these new requirements would result in a fine of up to 50,000 ringgit, imprisonment of up to 3 years, or both. Now, so far, the Customs Department have said that 126 foreign digital service providers have registered with them.
Now, 2.4 billion ringgit a year does sound like a lot of money, but I mean, if you put it in context into the GST revenue that we've lost, I think the service tax brings in about maybe half of that, maybe a bit more than half. So let's say if GST brought in 44 billion, services tax brings 22 billion, you add maybe 3 billion optimistically for this, that's still 25, 26 billion ringgit a year.
Right. I think 2.5 billion is slightly under 1% of the entire budget of about 300 billion. But I think something is better than nothing. But my problem with this is that most of the online services like Netflix, Spotify and so on, their pricing is fixed, right? So there is very little in terms of scalability compared to the GST, where if you bought a Birkin or Hermes bag, right, you pay a lot of tax on that through the GST.
Yeah, so let's take a look at how digital taxes across the world look. Singapore has a 7% tax beginning at the 1st of Jan. Norway has a 25% tax since the July 2011, so about a decade of that. Russia has an 18% tax. They implemented this in January 2017. And New Zealand has about 15%. That's been since October 2018.
25% is really quite a high threshold there in Norway.
Yeah, but Norway seems to be the happiest place on earth, right? They've got the best sovereign wealth fund that people are taking care of. Your retirement, you've got £1 million. 25% tax. If you're guaranteed your retirement, why not?
So another bill that has also been passed in April of this year is the Departure Levy Bill, which means that any person leaving Malaysia was taxed beginning September 1st of this year. Now, the levy varies depending on the destination and seat class. Passengers to ASEAN countries are taxed 8 ringgit and 50 ringgit for economy and business class respectively, while passengers to other countries are charged 20 ringgit for those in economy and 150 for those in business class and up. So this is expected to add between 900 million and a billion ringgit to the government's annual revenue.
So it all adds up, right? 2.5 billion earlier from the digital tax and 1 billion here and there. I think the government is really scrunching around just to make sure that they collect enough money. What with all the promises that have been made in budget as well, a lot of subsidies that are going on there.
And another act that was passed this year, or finally repealed at least, Parliament finally repealed the Anti-Fake News Act just recently on 19th of December. The controversial act was first introduced by Barisan Nasional just before GE14. And according to the act, anyone found guilty of spreading fake news could be jailed for up to 6 years and fined up to 500,000 ringgit. Now, recap, the Dewan Rakyat passed the first bill to repeal the act in August 2018, but it was rejected by the Dewan Negara. The bill had to go through a cooling period of 1 year before being tabled again as per the constitution, and this year the bill was the repeal bill was retabled and passed on October 9th. It got through Dewan Rakyat, and then it was only blocked once.
Yeah, so constitutionally, the Dewan Negara can only block a bill once. So since then, since October 9th, it has been tabled again in the Dewan Negara. But even if they try to block it again, it will automatically go before the King for the royal assent. Now, another big news Parliament made the move to amend the federal constitution this year to lower the voting age to 18. And 211 MPs endorsed the amendment on the 16th of July, which means there will be 7.8 million new voters in the next general election.
So lowering the voting age to 18 was part of the Pakatan Harapan's manifesto. Automatic voter registration, which was also in PH manifesto, was also part of the amendment to this bill. And we spoke to Syed Saddiq, Minister for Youth and Sports, the day after that this vote was passed. And here's what he had to say.
To me, this is a landmark. This is a landmark legislation for young people. If previously youth issues could be sidelined and could be treated as subpar issues, now absolutely no one from the political divide can ever undermine the power of young people, because now they know that in order for us to get into Putrajaya, the key lies in the hands of young people, including corporate leaders now, can no longer sideline young people. It means that the new Malaysia will be defined by the youth of Malaysia. If previously there was about 41% of the electorate who are made up of young people, now there will be about 55 to 60% who are made up of young people, which means that youth issues will be issues of national priority.
He also commented on the overwhelming bipartisan support that the bill got.
Yes, sir, it's truly a historic day then, because I don't think we've ever had this level of bipartisan support in decades. I remember, I mean, it took me a while to convince cabinet, because there was a lot of skepticism that it would be impossible to get the opposition blocked to support this, because in the end they'll just reject it, like what happened during the last attempt for constitutional amendment about a few months back. However, I think the point in which you reach out to the opposition, you meet up with them, you show that you are serious and committed to reform the electoral process in favour of young people, is possible, because they are also rational people. They love the country as much as I do, despite the fact being on different political aisles. We want to serve the rakyat, we want to serve the people. And this is one of the rare occasions where we come together in support of the youth of Malaysia.
And that was Syed Saddiq, Minister of Youth and Sports, speaking to us the day after the Undi 18 bill was passed in Parliament. So a very interesting set of bills that we saw over the course of this year. Of course, speaking about reform, we will be taking a look at some of the reforms proposed by the Election Reform Committee, specifically to do with proportional representation. So that's going to be happening in about half an hour. And if you want to weigh in on that, we're asking asking you, should our government be elected based on the popular vote instead of geographic constituencies? And that's a poll running on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio. You can check that out. Do tell us what you think. But right now we're heading into the 7:30 news. And after that, a look back at trade war developments in 2019. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.